grease, steel, cracked iron, and bayou grass. Sun's heading creekside, days fading fast. Are you really digging for peace, or is that just a lie you tell to help you sleep? Sure that you.
Welcome to the Record Yard. I'm Jerry Wayne Longmire. Y'all, presumably still y'all, all are welcome here in the Church of Internal Combustion. We just ask that you show up with an open heart. And speaking of open hearts, by God, would you look at this. I just put this up here for a visual representation for y'all. You know, we come to you last week and we made a post on Facebook about it. Our post office got robbed and somebody stole what was maybe 25 to 50 Hot Wheels cars that somebody had sent for our drivendreams.org day of giving. Or raising die-cast cars for kids who just ain't got a lot going for them. And holy cow, did you guys show out? Look at all this. This is all boxes of Hot Wheels and die-cast that showed in mass. And the post office tells me there's 10 more coming. 10 more coming. We were already at 914 cars. And at the end, when we get to our testimonials, we're going to wrap these. We're going to wrap them quick. Get the names out there. Otherwise, we'll be here all night trying to go through all this mess. And we're going to try to get you an updated count by the end of the night. In the meantime, I'm going to have to do something about all this so I can do my show. But I had to let you guys see it. My heart is so, my cup runneth way the hell over. My cup runneth way the hell over. Why so many people out there waste their energy arguing about politics and who's doing what and all this kind of stuff. All we're trading in over here is we trading in hopes and smiles, baby. That's what we traffic in, hopes and smiles here at the Wrecking Yard. And y'all really showed out. God bless every daggum one of you. Now let me figure out something to do with all this. Whew, that's a little better. Got me some breathing room now. Oh my goodness, that's a stack of cars. Even if I stacked them all up over here, they're still covering up the Wrecking Yard sign. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Is that it? We got 12 packages just right there for us to go through. Sorry, I got my crap everywhere here. How the hell are y'all doing? Gosh, that puts a... I've been waiting to show y'all that stack of boxes all week. I've been just piling them up in the garage and... Then that daggum post office hit us up and said, boy, we got a mess more of it coming. So I said, boy, daggum. I hope you splendid bunch of people are doing okay today. It's Sunday morning for me. I recorded this thing last week in the morning and it was kind of nice out here. I enjoyed being out here and lights a little different in the garage, and I'm a different self in the morning. Jerry Wayne at 6-7 in the evening is a different guy. He's already experienced most of what the day has to offer. A little tired, oftentimes a little too pensive, stuck off in his own head, trying to figure out tomorrow out. Which is ridiculous. We waste more time trying to figure out tomorrow. And you should plan. I mean, you should pay your bills. You should be prepped for things. But my God, the amount of energy we spend into trying to predict what's going to happen tomorrow and how tomorrow's going to go, that I think we waste a lot of our present doing that. So anyway, I just decided to record it out here again in the morning this week. And I'm in a positively just a splendid move. I got up, took a shower, and did some yoga out here. I hadn't been in the gym in nearly 2 weeks. I tore up my hips, just really been aggravating. It's just really been a lot of pain. And but I did start going to chiropractor last week. Shout out to Dr. Hill at the Joint on West Little York because she is fixing my shit up. Apparently, it's my hamstring is the problem. And we are working the piss out of it. But whew, she's got me feeling a little better every day. Enough so that I'm planning on going to the gym in the morning. She's giving me the okay to go ahead and get in there and bust some weight. So I'm going to go to the gym in the morning and get myself feeling right. But I'm feeling pretty good. I did some stretches, did some yoga. Goofed off with my youngest son, in the living room for a little bit before I come out here. Did some writing this morning. It's been a good week. A lot of it just kind of absorbing all the events of the last 2 weeks and kind of planning next steps. I'm selling my Mazda. Decided that I'm going to replace my Mazda with a pickup. I miss having a pickup, and when it comes time to start doing stuff with a Volkswagen, having a pickup is just going to make going and getting parts cars and stuff like that so much easier, and borrowing equipment from people and stuff like that. And I don't want crazy. I want a half-ton pickup. I don't want a mini truck. I want something with a little better seating that I can sit a little more upright and take a little pressure off his hip, because my doc is pretty sure I damaged it back when I fell off the roof and limped around on it for months while my left hip was healing. So she said that's generally pretty, sorry, eyes are a little watery. It's a pretty common occurrence. You hurt something, then you limp around on the good something, and then, you know, what you do is you do detrimental amounts of damage to the good something every day, and then later on, after your bad something feels good, now your good something feels bad. It's a real common story. I've been told 1,000 times. I ain't going to waste your energy telling it again. But I want something that sits a little more upright. I miss having my little pickup. And I have decided to go back to the best vehicle I've ever owned in my life. And so I am on the hunt for a 1999 to 2005 General Motor GMT 800 half ton with a 5.3. I don't want a 6 liter. And... which not many of them would 6 liter unless they were ordered that way. And I'm here or there about it. I would prefer it be a Z71 just because I really like that setup. And I know that we're talking about moving in the next couple years, and probably wherever we move is going to have snow and ice, and I'd prefer to have four-wheel drive. And the four-wheel drive on that truck worked like clockwork. It was easy to use four-wheel drive. You didn't have to lock no hubs, blah, blah, blah. Push a button, boogity boogity. Best four-wheel drive ever had. When the four-wheel drive stopped working, I took the selector switch button off, cleaned it up, put it back on. Boogity boogity. Started working again. I always liked working on that truck. That truck was easy to work on. I've told you the whole story about how GM spent a decade designing that truck to make it easy to work. Like, that was their whole thing. And as much as I despise an automatic transmission, it's got a 6L80, which is honestly probably the cheapest transmission you can get built these days that's left. And plenty of parts left for 6L80s, plenty of torque converters, plenty of pumps for 6L80, plenty of cores for 6L80s. So, and I want the extended cab because I hate a four. I don't like a four-door truck. I just don't care for it. I don't like the way they look. I don't like having to go open that door, walk all the way around that 750 to get off in that extended cab. I liked that. That was my favorite four-door truck they ever made, was those years, even if it was just a three-door, but with those little hidden suicide doors. That's the best way anybody's ever done it. Blip, open it, and you had this open compartment into your freaking cab. So that's what I'm going back to. I have reached the old man phase of my life. Or for my daily driver, I've decided I'm going back in time to a vehicle that always held up by me. So I'm looking for one of those, you know, 130, 180,000 miles probably is in my price range. I don't know what they run where you live, but here in Texas, you can pick them up from about $4,000 to $5,000. On the nicer end, $6,000, $7,000. I've seen a few people asking for 8 and 10, but god dang, they were beautiful trucks, had 15, 20,000 miles on them, you know? I don't need anything. I just want something that's got a clean interior and a pretty clean body. I know it's going to have, they're work trucks. So I know it's going to have some dings and dents. I ain't worried about that. But I just don't want a bunch of body panels swapped out and that kind of stuff. I want something that's got its original body and interior in decent enough shape that I can, you know, go get the seats reupholstered. But I want the dash all together, that kind of stuff, you know. I don't want to spend a lot of time on that. So, well, look. But a fan reached out to me, said he's looking for a car for his daughter. And he has a 2005 Z71 up there in East Texas. And said he might be willing to swap something like that. So I hit him up, said, are you serious? Because Tuesday, my sister's truck broke down again, that Ford. The rear differentials chattering away, making all kind of racket. So, and she's up in East Texas. And we were going to have her come down because next weekend, when I get back from Louisville on Sunday night, I got tickets for me and Mama. We're going to go see Paul Cawthon, and I'm terribly excited about that. He's doing a series of shows called His Acoustic Set, and he happens to be doing one here at the Heights Theater not too far from us. And I jumped on there and snatched us some tickets. And me and Mama going to go listen to little Paul Cawthon, me and Miss Rachel. We're going to have us a good time. Going to be a little dancing, a little drinking, a little loving, and some good-ass music. And I'm real excited about that. I don't get to take her out on a date too often. So, but in order to have a babysitter, I got to go get the babysitter from East Texas. And we just want Kimberly to come down in October anyway. She usually does. And so I'm going to drive up to East Texas Tuesday. And I can't get up there any sooner. I've just got too much going on. I was trying to get up there sooner. I haven't told y'all this, but Uncle Bobby's daughter, Shawnee, I did tell. They've given her, as of this past Thursday, they've given her 3 to 5 days. She's at home now under hospice care, and it's just bad. And I'm going to try to get up there in time to go say goodbye to my little cousin. And I wasn't going to go for selfish reasons. Because after watching my mom pass away of liver failure, that's what's happening, Shawnee. It's real ugly. And I know it's going to be ugly. And I know it's going to affect me. But her daddy's gone. And I'm about the next best thing. And I need to go see that baby if I can. So I'm trying to get up there in time to do that. Then I'm going to pick my sister up. And then if old boy's serious, I'm gonna run over there where he lives, close to Lake Tyler, which we're going to be talking about today. And let him check out the car and check out that little pickup he's got. If he's serious, you know, sometimes people just talking and talk. But I would do that swap in a heartbeat just because that solves my problem. That's exactly why I'm selling the car, because I'm going to go buy another truck. And I found several that I've been looking at. So I'm going to go make that trip and then come back. And then I'm going to take, Thursday I fly out to Louisville, Kentucky. It's one of my favorite places to go. I love going in October. It's one of my favorite times to go. So I'm going to go up there to Louisville and do a show in Louisville, Kentucky at Mr. G's. And I performed there last year, had a great time with those folks. So I'm really looking forward to it. And a bunch of my usual suspects, my old buddy Jim Lavender, my buddy Greg Roshan, and Maybe even old Mikey Brown. Old Mikey Brown said he's getting his cast off Friday. Mikey Brown might be out to see me, and that would be super cool. I just love old Mikey, and that'd give me a chance to pick his brain in real time about Mama's Volkswagen. Mikey did not get selected for the Hot Wheels contest this year, and he built one of the most interesting builds I've seen in a decade. It's called Chili Willy. Go look up Paper to Pavement YouTube if you're not familiar with Mikey Brown. And look at this cool little thing he built out of an old scrap Willis body. It's just the neatest build I have seen in eons. And I'm beyond floored that he didn't make it through, because I can't imagine what beat him, you know. So anyway, hopefully we get to see old Mikey Brown. Gonna be a good show. If you're anywhere near Louisville, as close as I'm gonna be for a little while. So I hope you come out. We're gonna have a good, I love to see my Wrecking Yard people at shows for sure. And that's a fun place to perform. I'm excited about it. I'm excited to go to Louisville, man. I think we're gonna try to do a little meet and greet, maybe throw something together somewhere. Maybe down at Evan Williams or something. I don't know, we'll figure something out. So I got a busy week ahead of me. Busy week. I'm trying next week, if I can work it out Wednesday, to have my old buddy Marzi Montazeri stop by the Wrecking Yard. And Marzi Montazeri, if you don't know who he is, you can Google him, but he's an incredible metal guitarist. He's an incredible guitarist, musician, period. And Marzi has played with Pantera and Super Joint Ritual, and then him and Phil Anselmo had a band, Phil and the Illegals. And Marzi's an interesting soul, but the one thing me and Marzi have in common is we both grew up with the Vargas family right there in A-Leaf, and that's how we've known each other. I've known Marzi since I was about 14, 15 years old. And I want to do an episode about Big Mike Vargas. I've told y'all a few stories about him, but I really want to dig off into the legend and the legacy of Big Mike. And not too many better people to help me do that than Marzi Montazeri, because he knew the man for a long time as well. And I think that'll be a cool episode. So I'm trying to line that up for next week. We'll see how it goes. I may just have to write another one and get Marzi the week after, since it's so busy. When I come back from Louisville, we're going to do our big day of giving for the drivendreams.org. And I'm just so excited about that. We're still trying to figure out how we're going to make all this happen. But we got a busy weekend next weekend. I am just blown away by what you guys have done here. Y'all are just, this just adds, October is my favorite month. I love October. I don't know why. I don't have an answer for that. But October feels like the month where nostalgia, where the past, the present, and the future all come to fruition. October feels like it's right. It's before Thanksgiving and Christmas. It's for all the stress that can come with that. But also, October is its own thing. You know, we got some Halloween at the end. We got a fun little celebration at the end of the month. And everybody likes to be spooky. And the weather takes a turn. Even here in Houston, Texas, the weather takes a little bit of a turn. We start getting a little drier, a little cooler days. I mean, not to be too hopeful. Every once in a while, you can put a hoodie on. You know, it's real nice. So just psyched to be here at the beginning of October. My favorite month. And about to do this big fun thing with all these Hot Wheel cars. And you guys have just really come through for that over the course of this last year. And that's exciting to me. It's exciting to me to see people doing good for other people. Just for no reason other than to do it. And today I'm going to take y'all to one of my happy places. I mean, there's some ups and downs, as there always is, but this was a place that was fundamental in me finding my interest and becoming the person I became. I believe, anyways. And I think there's a good lesson about the lure of nostalgia in it. And because I recently found out what this place became. And sometimes that can be unsettling, you know. I've talked about that. You guys talked to me about it in your comments. But sometimes it's okay. Sometimes it's just okay, you know. Whew. Boy, I said a lot. 17 minutes. Tyler, Texas. There's a lake. Lake Tyler. I don't know much about the history of the lake. Pretty sure it's man-made. Most of the lakes in Texas are. Boy, that's a little louder than I thought that was going to be. I might not do too much on that right now. Wait on that for later. That's a little noisy. I may even take a wire wheel to some of it. It's so rough on the front of this blade. Yeah. Lake Tyler's a big old lake, right? It's a big old lake, kind of has a weird shape. It's like most dam formed lakes. And there was like most lakes, there's a wealthy side. And then there's a not-so-wealthy side. Lake living ain't never been cheap, but it was a lot cheaper back in the 80s. There was more options. When you get outside of White House, you can catch there's a little road called McElroy Road. And you take McElroy Road, and it runs up on the west side of Lake Tyler. And if you go out there now, there's a place called Boulder's RV Park. But in the 1980s, McElroy Road just run up, and there was a little old service road, and it just run out on this little like almost like a little tiny peninsula out off into the west side of Lake Tyler, about halfway up the lake, right across the lake from the Petroleum Club, where the wealthy side was. And then north of the Petroleum Club, you had all these big houses. And one of them, my papa was just sure it was owned by the mafia. Real mafioso. A real mafioso lake house. He was just sure it was mafioso. Because every time he looked across there with his binoculars, they was out there in black suits and formal affairs. And he was just sure they were real live Italian mafioso. Probably out of the Dallas families. Had a nice little spot on Lake Tyler. Now that I'm older, personally, I think there's better lakes that the mafioso could have put a house on. But I could be wrong. If you was in the mob and you lived on Lake Tyler, reach out to me. Let me know. I bet nobody reaches out to me. Probably. Mafioso don't like to talk about being in the mafioso. I like saying mafioso because years ago there was a video of Randy Travis, and I'm not making fun of Randy, but Randy was on one. Randy Travis was on one, and you can find this video. I don't remember all the details. I just know when they pulled him over, he was buck naked. And this poor little Texas state trooper or Texas cop, you could tell he did not want to arrest Randy Travis for being buck naked in the middle of nowhere and raging drunk out of his mind. But boy, he was on one. And Randy Travis sat in the back of that cop car and just told that cop what a first-class piece of shit he was and how he knew real mafiosos and he could make a phone call. He'd be gone tomorrow. Randy was on one. And I'm not making fun of Randy. Love Randy Travis. He is revered. especially here in my state. But what I will tell you is, if you ever been on one of them benders like that, maybe you didn't end up naked in a cop car, you understand how old Randy's feeling in the moment, right? And Randy was on one, and he was feeling something in the moment. And it's just one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. But that's about where we was, right there off McElroy Road. I told y'all before, back then, you could get a lake lot. You could get a what they call a 99-year lease on that lake lot. You couldn't buy it, but you could get a 99-year lease on it. And it wasn't too bad. It was pretty low monthly cost. And some people in my family's bracket could afford to have them on them little spots up there. They did some wheeling and dealing. Papaw done him some wheeling and dealing, got him this little lake lot. Decided he's going to have a spot to go out to the lake. Well, when you go out there, Papaw, when he was younger, was Papaw Clark, was, you know, he was president of the boat club and this and that. He had had boats his whole life, and he liked being out there. And they got that little spot. Well, so when you went up there on that service road, it was like a cliff. So where the water met, there was like a little bit of shoreline, maybe like 3 or 4 foot of sandy shoreline, and then red dirt cliffs. And those cliffs were probably about 8-10 foot high. They seemed like 30 when I was a kid. And they went all around kind of that little area of the peninsula we was on. And people out there at the lake, they would have pontoon boats. And some of them look like the pontoon boats you got now, albeit much smaller. But most of the pontoon boats were homemade. They were usually just square in shape or rectangular in shape. And underneath them, they had styrofoam pontoons, these great big giant styrofoam pontoons. And that's what kept them afloat. They'd be lined up in a row, just like a pontoon boat's pontoon. And there was a lot of them out there. And in that particular section, there was a lot of them sinking. They'd fallen into disrepair. People couldn't afford to keep them up. There was a lot of broke piers out there. You had a few piers, you could tell people redone them, made them nice. Our particular pier was one of the scariest that I've ever been on, because it just kind of started off on top of that cliff and then just kind of wandered and went down to water level. And I don't think it was ADA compliant. All right. It was about 3 foot wide in places, 2 foot wide in other places where Papaw didn't have long enough boards to fill it in. And they had gone down there and cobbled, old used womanized lumber and filled in the broken parts of it. And as more parts broke, they'd have to replace boards. It wasn't uncommon for somebody to step through the pier, get hurt. I think Granny done it about half a dozen times on one of her diet pill fueled manic, gotta get stuff done today up and down the piers. And it had a little old, theirs was more of a square shape. It's just wood framed barge, and in towards the back of that thing there was a hole, and in that hole was a little outboard 30 horse 40 horse, it was a little small engine, outboard engine. Papaw had him a captain's chair, a little set up there where he could drive that barge around the lake. Now, the other problem with the pontoons was Lake Tyler started getting eat up with, I think it's called hydrophilia, something like that. It's a type of plant that's supposed to clean the lake water. And they brought this shit, the Army Corps engineer brought it in from South America or somewhere. I probably should have done some research on this. And they started putting Texas lakes, thought it would help clean the water. They did it in Louisiana too. And then they found out, oh shit, this plant's invasive. And what it does, eventually it'll just choke a lake out. And there's been several that have been choked out by it over the years. So then they say, Well, I know how we're going to curb this hydrophila. They got this animal down there in South America or wherever the shit they get all this stuff called a nutria. Kind of looks like a fat beaver without a tail, without the big wide tail. Got big old teeth, though. And them nutria can eat just about anything. One of them things them nutria like to eat is they like to eat that hydrophila. So we're going to go get us a couple of them nutria. We're going to bring them, put them in the lakes, and them nutria will keep the hydrophila chopped down. Well, what they didn't plan on was the nutria really like eating styrofoam pontoons. Apparently, that's a bit of a delicacy in South America, so them nutria went to eating everybody's pontoons. So about half them boats out there were sunk because the nutria done got up there and ate the damn pontoons out. And I suspect they were probably eating the pontoons because little water beetles and stuff would get up in the pontoons. They was probably just chasing bugs, if I had to think. Or shit, hell, I don't know. There could just be an animal that likes to taste the styrofoam. I mean, hell, I don't know everything about animals. Don't claim to. I'm looking at my screen up there, and it's got me framed in one of those little frame marks right here. I keep thinking I got something on my shirt and trying to wipe it off. And we'd see them nutria out there. Most people shoot them on sight, you know, because they were just a nuisance. I've had several encounters of nutria in my life. They can be unfriendly. Anyways, this was an old part of the lake is all I'm trying to tell you. And next to their lot, there was a big old red barge, big fancy number, wood frame one, that had sunk and was collapsing into the lake. And then there was, I've told y'all, there was a little cove over there that was about 2 foot deep. And that cove was real snaky, but it's also real good-ass fishing. That was a good old place to fish off in that cove. Place wasn't nice when they first got it. First thing they did is they fixed some of the wood on the barge. And Papa drug up a wrecking yard engine for it, power it. And they got out there, the men, my dad, and some of them helped Papa change them pontoons out, the ones that was waterlogged, and get some fresh pontoons under it. Fresh pontoons is easy to come by because every time they had a storm on Lake Tyler, at least four of them barges broke apart and their pontoons just floated all over the lake, and that little cove was a hell of a pontoon-catching cove. So it wasn't hard to come across some fresh pontoons out there every once in a while, them styrofoam pontoons. You know, my people are make do what you got types of folk. But at the same time, Papa done some wheeling and dealing and messed around, got him a little fifth wheel RV. Wasn't new, it was very old. But him and Granny had fixed it up. And they, not in the beginning, but eventually they drug it up there to the lake. They parked it up on top of that hill right there in front of their lot. Papa ran him a power pole, got it all set up so he could have some power to his RV. But years and years and years of people building piers and stuff out there in this area, you know, since it first become a lake, had left, what happens, people used to use a lot of drill pipe and a lot of old pipe they had, fence pipe laying around. They use it to build these piers, thinking, well, that'll last a long time, but the water's undefeated. Water will eat that stuff up. So what you had is a bunch of out there in our little swimming area in between them two barges. And off the back of our barge was you had these stobs stuck up out of the bottom of the lake. And sometimes they come above the top of the water, you could see them, but sometimes they didn't. And they rusted and broke off, so they'd be sharp. They'd do a number on you. I landed on one time and cut myself up pretty good. Oh boy, that's a tetanus shot right there, buddy. You screw around and have a lockjaw dangling around on one of them things. So the men would get out there, and Papa and my daddy, Granny, all of them, Aunt Janet. Yeah, I was telling y'all all about the shop last week, and I feel bad I left that. But Aunt Janet, and I spent some time on the phone with my Aunt Janet this week, talking to her about Shawnee. And she had watched the wrecking yard, and she remembered working on Papa Wiley's house with my daddy and Aunt Barbara. And she remembered, she said her and Aunt Barbara had to do the roof on that little house. And it was, she said, well, we got that tar all over us and burned our butts. And she helped build the wreck yard. She also told me it was not used steel. So I learned some new stuff about the wreck yard shop. Papa ordered that as a kit. That was a kit that come in a kit. And they drop out there, it had all the framing wood and had all the steel. And the reason that steel got holes in it is because people been shooting holes in it for 75 years, apparently. Not even saying, it ain't even 75 years old. But apparently, little Bobby's favorite thing to do is take his pistol out there and shoot holes in the shop. So all them little holes in the shop apparently are gunshot holes and BB holes and who knows what else. Maybe some from time and rust. But they all got out there. They all got out there, and they didn't, my family didn't do life jackets. They did ski belts. Some of y'all probably ain't old enough to remember that, but back in the 70s, people went skiing. You get your thing called a ski belt, and it was like a hard foam, thick, fat belt flotation device you put around your waist. It's not the safest thing in the world. I can tell you, as somebody who's gone in the water with a ski belt on and ended up upside down, it'll just float you upside down as good as it'll float you upside right. Especially when you're a little scrawny ass kid and you got it strapped on too tight. But they got out there in their ski belts and their boat shoes. And, you know, nobody made no aqua shoes back then. And we all swam in them boat shoes all the time because there was fishing lures. And, you know, people have been fishing out there for years. And they'd get out there and they'd find these stobs. And then Granny would take a milk jug or old Prestone jug or whatever they had laying around. And a lot of antifreeze jugs. And they'd take a piece of cable, or rope, and tie it to that daggum stob and tie it to that jug. So you knew where that stob was, because we like to jump off the pier and jump off the barge in the water. You didn't want to land on one of them stobs. You also didn't want to back up and catch one with your foot while you're swimming. So they got out there, and I remember we would swim out there. You just stay away from the stobs, because that's where them old rusty pipes was. And every season, before summer, and before the kids and us got out there and got swimming, they would go out there and check for trot lines, because trot lines at the time was illegal in Texas. So nobody marked them. And people run trot lines and jug lines all over the place. And then if they saw the game warden anywhere over there by the trot line and jug, they just let it go, you know, forget about it. Them old fish would drag that jug line off up into your pier area and get it tangled around the pier. And eventually something come eat the fish. And now you just got a little light chain full of rusty hooks on it hung up under your pier that you don't know wasn't there last year. So they had to go out there and check and move your arms real slow in the water, try to find stuff like that and get it all out of there. I liked the diving. I liked to put a mask on and flippers on and swim down there and look at the bottom of the lake, mostly just moss and sand. But you can watch them fish. There's a lot of brim in Lake Tyler, and brim ain't too scared of you. They swim right up to you. You can look at them. You can almost reach out and touch them, you know. You can go out there. You can see all kinds of stuff. I seen an alligator gar one time underwater, scared the crap out of me. That those things are scary looking out of the water, but in the water, they're much more formidable looking. They are much more terrifying. Alligator gar scare the piss out of you underwater. I don't remember no alligators out in Lake Tyler. Lots of turtles, lots of snapping turtles. I really liked turtles when I was a kid. I was fascinated with turtles. Had a lot of turtle pets. Spent a lot of time catching turtles and releasing them, and I just like turtles. I had it in my head that when I was a kid, that when I grew up, I was going to be what I had invented a job for myself. It was testudinologist. and I was going to study turtles. I'm not 100% sure testudinology exists. Oh, no, I think I've met somebody. You know what? Maybe it exists, maybe it don't. But I had decided that's what I was going to be. I was going to grow up, and I was going to be the master of studying turtles. Basically, I was going to be the Jack Cousteau of East Texas when it comes to turtles. Those of you who are sitting here watching this show know that did not pan out. Turns out I did not end up becoming a turtle researcher. But boy, I spent most... So when we was up there at the lake, we'd go up there and we'd be up there for a month. Easy. You know, we'd stay with Granny a month or two in East Texas. And at least a month of that, we'd spend at the lake at some point. And I would get my mask and my flippers on, and boy, I would swim for hours. I'm a water baby. I always have been. I love swimming, love being underwater, love being in water. And I would swim down underneath them barges and look at the fish. And then, like, where them stobs was, I'd grab that rope, pull myself down, and look at that rusty stob underwater and all the little organisms you could see. There's all kind of little organisms that live in lake water. There's little jelly looking things, and there's a lot of fascinating stuff looking. And there's the little freshwater clam mussels that live down there, and we love picking them up and tapping them, getting them to open their shell. Hours doing that, hours. But also they figured out, me and Ricky both loved doing that. Ricky would come up with, so what happens eventually, Nanny bought that old broke down barge beside us. She had that hauled off, and she bought her a new, and Nanny had some money. She bought her a new nice barge, had a second floor. You could climb up a ladder, get on the top of it, and jump off. It was cool. And Nanny rebuilt her pier and fixed her little area up over there. And man, sometimes for a week or two, Ricky and Tony would be up there, me and Kimberly, and sometimes our little cousin Candida would be up there, my Aunt Janet's daughter. And boy, we would just swim for hours, hours. The girls go do what they want to do, but me and Ricky would have them masks on. And me and Ricky got real good at finding fishing lures and them trot lines and untangling them and getting them away from there and everything. Then they had the kid labor working for them to clean the area up. Papa's always mad at Granny. He's always showing up. He'd pull up in that old bread truck, and we'd be swimming too far out. Like, June, you're going to get them kids drowned. Reaper June, get them babies back in here. You're going to drown one of them babies. We ain't never, you know. He was always worried about us. Always worried Granny's going to get us drowned. He fussed a lot about that sort of thing. Me and Ricky found there was an empty boat out there that we found, and didn't have an engine on it. It drifted up in the cove. It was just a little fiberglass boat. And me and Ricky decided we was going to paddle it across the lake to the petroleum club one day. And we got about halfway there, and it started taking on water. And then we panicked. And we started trying to paddle it back, and it just took on more water. And then at one point, we was out of the boat, swimming beside it, trying to... I don't know why we was trying to drag... Well, we had found it. It was our boat, by God. I don't know why we... And then that boat just sank altogether, and me and Ricky had to swim halfway back across that lake. We were exhausted by the time we got back. But Papa found out what we did. Boy, he had a fit. Oh, y'all like to drown out there. Shit. We'll get more into it, but a little around the way there was a fishing pier, real popular fishing pier that folks come to. And every once in a while, I'd go over there early in the morning with my mask and swim around down the bottom of that fishing pier. And boy, you find all kind of lures and pocket knives and all kind of neat stuff, you know, sunglasses and cool stuff. And me and Ricky had this little collection going of our treasures. And sometimes there was people down there at the bait at the fishing pier. They said, "Boy, what'd you find?" You show them you found this old buck knife. And hell, son, I'll give you $1 for that buck. Well, $1? Shit. That's good money right there. Boy, I thought I might get rich finding pocket knives. $1 for a buck knife. Woo! Boy, you couldn't tell me nothing. I go in that store and get all the bubble gum I wanted after that. Couldn't tell me nothing. Entrepreneur, sir. It's always been part of my spirit, taking old and selling it. It's in our blood. Tickled the shit out of me talking to Aunt Janet because her little grandson, my cousin Candy's oldest boy, his name's Draven. He's just, from what I can tell, he's always just been a good kid. But he didn't grow up in the wrecking yard, but said he's 21 years old now. He spends all his time working on an old pickup, and his favorite thing in the world to do is go to U-Pullets and pull parts, work on that pickup. And I thought, by God, it's just in our blood. It's just genetic. There's just a marker. I want my blood to be studied by science to find out what the junk marker is. Take my DNA apart. See if you can figure out what the junk marker for DNA is. Because I suspect it goes back to ancient man. I suspect it goes all the way back to Scotland and such. The junker marker. Love go ride around the lake with Papa when he's driving that barge. He just looks so happy. Little flowery welding hat and used to go in it. Aunt Janet told me the funniest story about him. It is so on brand for Papaw when I was on the phone with her. She said one day they was on that old ratty ass barge and they was just going through the lake. And Papaw was sitting in his captain's chair and Aunt Janet was sitting in a lawn chair beside him. And she said he just looked over at her and grinned and said, "What you think the poor people are doing today?" And Janet said, "Well, I know they ain't riding on this barge." He said, "You damn right." "What you think the poor people are doing today?" That's so old brand for my mama. That tickled the shit out of me when I heard that. Whew. God, it was such a fun place. Learned to fish there. I wasn't, but Papa was always, so after he got out there at night, man, he was just Papa would sit on that barge, even after we already went to bed, and he had his little, BB gun, one of them little spring-loaded, little daisy rifle, and had him, his police scanner, right? That was Papa's TikTok, basically, was just Papa sit there and doom scroll the police scanner. He had to know what was going on everywhere around the lake, everywhere around the wreck yard, what was going on. He knew all the channels. And his binoculars, you know, so he could go ahead and mind everybody else's business. And he was always so at peace. He's sitting out there, them sleeves rolled up in his chair, listening to that police scanner. He had a friend, everybody called Blackie. His name was James Black. He was Lake Patrol back in them days. Every once in a while, Blackie would come pull his boat up to the barge and disembark, and climb up there and sit with Papa, and they'd drink some cold bush beer. Have a cold beer. That's back when the Lake Patrol was more liable to sit down and have a beer with you than shoot at you. And, Papa was always doing something a little outside the lines, and old Blackie giving grief about it. And, "Boy, Bobby, you know, you can't be doing that. Now, you know, I might pretend I don't see it right now, but, you know, you can't just leave that fifth wheel out here. This ain't a camping designation. You can't leave that fifth wheel here all the time. You know, it's starting to look like a residence up there. And, you know, we can't have that. You know, there's some rules about what you can do." And Papa was always pushing them rules. He'd leave that RV up there year long, you know, and you weren't supposed to do that, you know. And they'd get on to him enough, he'd go up there and hook it up, drag it back to the wrecking yard, and they'd clean it out, spruce it up. And boy, a month later, they'd drag it right back out there. In fact, one time, When the barge's pontoons finally started getting bad, and pontoons started getting harder to come by because they start moving away from them, Papa decided to get the fellas out there, Dad and Uncle Toby and Uncle Bobby, all them, and they drove steel drill pipe into the lake floor, all around the barge, about eight of them. And then they run four across the front and back. And then they took a, they built them a little frame, they took come along, and they run chain all up under the bottom of that barge in between them pontoons, and they just lifted that barge up with them come along. And they took them pontoons out from underneath the barge, and then they took some more drill pipe and welded a frame underneath that barge and set that barge back down. Then they had them a permanent lake pier in the shape of a barge. In fact, Nanny ended up doing it with her barge too. They ended up doing it with both of them. One of the funniest things I remember is my Uncle Toby was married to my Aunt Lori. He was down there in the water. He was welding one of them things, and Aunt Janet come to bring him a beer, and he set that daggum welding lead on the barge, and when Aunt Janet bring him the beer, she kicked the welding lead off in the water right beside him. Boy, he about come out of that water hopper. said he thought his pecker was going to explode. Shocked the piss out of him. They raised that up. We had kind of a little permanent barge after that. And boy, they didn't like that out the lake. You're going to have to tear that down. You ain't going to be able to have that. Papaw have a couple cold beers with old Blackie. And I feel it necessary to point out, because of his nickname, that James Black was not a black fella. So it wasn't anything right. I think they just called him Blackie because of his last name. He's a good-sized fella, but he'd come over, have a couple beers, pop on, and then the problem would go away for a little while. I don't know when it finally come to a head. It was years after I stopped spending time with them. I was a teenager living my own life. Wonder what the poor people are doing today. That's the most Bobby Clark thing anybody ever said. That's so funny to me. Yeah, the old fifth wheel, boy, leak like a sieve. That was one of Granny's favorite Dexatrim projects. I call her Dexatrim. She was always on the diet pills, just speeding out of her gourd. And boy, she decided that there was a leak or something, and she'd get up there and she had this coating tar stuff, and she would slop that on there with a mop on top of that fifth wheel. She'd get up on that fifth wheel and slop that stuff on there with a mop. And it'd be about a month later, boy, she decided she needed to do it again. That was one of her project, her Dexatrim projects. And it was cool. Every once in a while, some Pentecostals would come out, you know, they'd come out. And Pentecostal girls would swim in their skirts, which was kind of a wild thing. But they would, you know, Pentecostals had a lot of rules about what women was allowed to wear. And they would come out there and swim in their denim skirts out there at the lake. But as long as they had them denim skirts on, us boys couldn't be lusting after their calves or what have you, you know. Whatever it was, the church was worried we was going to get into about them legs. A lot of memories, Uncle Bobby out there. Uncle Bobby. I primarily remember that time period he was when he was dating that gal Shelly, end up killing herself. And, I just remember several nights him and Shelly and my mom and daddy down there on the barge playing cards, laughing and cutting up and having a good time. Before everything just got so weird, you know. There was a pier right over yonder. So I'm just gonna tell y'all something. I'm the worst fisherman in my family. All right. I am the worst angler in the Longmire and probably McBride families combined. I am the worst one. I love it. I love fishing. I enjoy fishing, but I am just not worth the damn at it. All right. Just never have been. All my cousins can outfish me, any one of them on any given day. Ricky especially. Ricky's a fishing son of 50. Ricky can find bass in a 2-foot mud hole. He could find a bass in there. Ricky's a fishing some 50, man. I'd be down there fishing. I'd never would catch nothing, boy. Papa Clark said, well, you use the wrong stuff. You know, he knew how to do all that stuff. He didn't care to do it. He said, we're going to fix you up. He run down to that bait shop. He come back with these little bitty old tiny hooks. He said, this is a brim hook. Most of what we got around these barges is brim. They got a little bitty old mouth. You don't need a lot of bait. You don't need a big old lure. And he set me up a brim hook, a little split sink weight, a little split sinker, sorry, a little bobber. And he said, you put anything on that hook, they're going to eat a piece of bread, piece of corn, whatever. Well, I caught a lot of brim off a piece of corn. Brim fishing with corn is about the simplest, easiest fishing there is. If you can't catch brim with corn, you just quit fishing. Because I can catch brim with corn. Me and Ricky would sit on that dock, boy. We would fish and we'd catch them brim and just reel them. Boy, we'd have us a 5-gallon bucket full of them. And then we'd dump them back in the lake. We'd try to see who'd catch the most, who'd catch the biggest ones. For a while, we would, the brim was so, you know, if there was food in the water, we'd just sprinkle a little bit of corn out of the water. The brim would just be churning that water up. And Granny would do that every once in a while, keep them around. And I would get under there with my mask and Ricky would cast his line in with his corn on it, and I would Jack Cousteau watch the brim hit that thing, and Ricky fight the fish and bring it in. And then I'd get out of the water, and Ricky get his mask on, and I'd get out there and catch fish, and he'd watch the fish. We were studying, researching, science. We was doing science. There's so many good memories. I told you about the raft me and Ricky built one time. Got our picture in the newspaper about it. Built it out of old pontoons and scrap wood and carpet. Diamond in the rough. I can still smell what that lake water smelled like back then. Had just kind of an earthy smell. Every once in a while, the lake would turn over. And I honestly, to this day, still don't really know what that means. But when it turned over, the water would get colder. And a bunch of stuff would float up, that kind of stuff, you know. The water was a little dirtier and whatnot. We had inflatable rafts and boy, we'd just play out there till we sunburnt like lobsters. You know, nobody was talking about no skin cancer back then. Not that we was here and know how. I'd be out there for a lot of the summer, you know, because they would just, during the week, we'd just stay out there and Papa would drive in from work. He would just drive out there to the White House and meet us, you know. We'd just stay out the lake all day long. All there was to do was go fishing and swimming. Go fishing, swimming, eat Little Debbie brownies, and drink Shasta Cola. That's all there was to do, you know. Eventually they got a little TV and a VCR set up there, so you could watch a little movie in the RV every once in a while, or you could play cards with Granny. Granny liked playing cards. She liked playing Battle and all the fun kid games. She probably didn't like playing. She just did it to entertain us. We always celebrated 4th of July out there. We'd blow fireworks off that pier till 1 o'clock in the morning. Just light that whole sky up above Lake Tyler, them fireworks. Round off that peninsula, there's a little old, it was like an oil road. Run around there, and there was on top of a hill, there's a little bait shop. And a bait shop at the time, it was an older redheaded lady and her husband would run it. And off the boat shop, there was a little boat launch. Off the bait shop, there was a little boat launch there. And there was a big old red fishing pier. Went way out in the water. And boy, you could pay $1, you'd go out there and fish all day off the fishing pier. And they fed the fish out there. And there was always good. You catch some catfish and all kind of good stuff off that fishing pier. Because I was like a resident. I had my little bicycle and I would ride down there. Hang out at the bait shop. Boy, if I had a little spending money, I'd go down to the bait shop, get me a candy bar, get me some bubble gum. look at all the fishing tackle they had in there. Look at all them live baits. They had big old minnow tanks and the frozen shrimp. They had it all, but, you know, big old refrigerator full of worms, biggest earthworms you ever seen. You didn't need to buy no worms at Lake Tyler because you just go out there in the woods where the pine needles was real thick on the ground and the leaves was thick on the ground and drag them back with a rake. And boy, you have all the worms you ever needed to fish for any kind of fish. Big old nightcrawler earthworms. But I just like going down to that bait shop, and them people was always nice to me, and they knew Papa and Granny. And they had a set of twins. There's two redheaded twins that was about a year older than me. And I knew they was about a year older because come up in my teenage years, they was the first girls I seen that grew boobs. They developed quick. And they had freckles and braces and glasses, and you know, the older people were like, oh, them, they didn't think they was pretty little girls, but them girls was always nice to me. I liked hanging out with them. I thought they was pretty. I thought they was nice to hang out with. They would go ride bikes with me sometimes. You know, they stuck out there too, looking for a friend. Year I was about 13, summer I turned 13, I think. We was out there at the lake, and it was during the middle of the week, maybe a Wednesday, and I'd been hanging out with those two little gals, and one of them girls took me behind the minnow tank outside of her parents, and she kissed me, like, just pulled me close and kissed me on the mouth. Boy, I must have turned about 9 shades of red. I don't even remember if I said anything. I just ran and got on my bike and rode all the way back to the RV, the fifth wheel, and then locked myself, went in the fifth wheel and hid from them the rest of the day. I was quite the ladies' man. Knew how to get their attention. I'll run away screaming. I didn't know what to do, and she got it. I was a little Pentecostal boy. Figured I was already going to hell about that. Didn't want to go to hell any further for any more it might happen after she kissed me. And I didn't really even know what was supposed to happen after that, you know? And then I worried about how I was going to have to avoid them little girls after that. Turns out I didn't have to worry about that. Because apparently guys that run away when you kiss them ain't what they was looking for. They avoided me after. Oh, shit. I rode my bike down to that bait shop one time. It was about that same summer. And old James Black was down there. They was pulling a car up the boat ramp. Somebody had sunk a Volkswagen out in the lake. The Volkswagen had a body in it. Apparently, it was like when I was a kid, everything was a drug deal gone bad. Drug deal gone bad. That's how they ended up in the lake, dead. Drug deal gone bad. If they found somebody in a car, it's always a drug deal gone bad. Lake Tyler, East Texas. Drug deal gone bad. That's what all the adults are saying. I don't know, the drug deal gone bad. They're pulling this Volkswagen Beetle, which they do float for a while, but eventually they sink, especially if they got enough holes in them. They's pulling this little Volkswagen Beetle that been at the bottom of Lake Tyler. And I never saw the body, but I knew they was all talking about there was somebody in the car. But I tell you what struck me the funniest that day as a kid was when them sheriff opened the doors of that Volkswagen, the biggest catfish you ever seen in your world was come flopping out of that car. There's so many fish just flopping out of that car. Big old catfish, and they were just kicking them down the boat ramp, and I was so mad because I wanted to go get one of them big fish and take it back and tell everybody I caught it. I had never seen catfish that size before. It didn't dawn on me until I was sitting down to write this episode that all them fish was in there eating that dead dude in that car. It's just kind of gross. But, you know, Fish gonna fish, right? Let's wrap this up right here. We got a bunch of shit to unwrap. I want to do some testimonials. I had some wonderful ones, some testimonials, if you will. We had some wonderful testimonials from last week. And I so enjoyed taking you guys on that journey with me. And even more enjoyed reading what y'all had to say about it. It just warmed the cockles of my heart. Our old buddy Gene Bond. Thanks for another good one, JW. I get wanting a project card to build up for nostalgia purposes, if nothing else. It's been a faint wish of mine for a while, but I'm afraid my health may not allow it anymore. Back when I was younger, more able, I didn't have the resources or facilities to pull it off. Now I have those, but not the physical ability. Don't get me wrong, I still do all my own vehicle maintenance and repair, but I'm not sure I could pull off a restoration like that, like what I would like. Oh well, we have to play the cards we're dealt. No regret. I've earned all these aches and pains. I've enjoyed it all. Maybe not every little bang and bruise, but the adventure it led up to them. Take it easy. I hope to catch you. Up in Louisville. Edit. She who must be obeyed consented. So tickets are ordered. Can't wait to be. Well, that's fair. I love meeting Wreck Yard people. I'm so excited to meet you in Louisville too, Gene Bond. And you know what? I love what you had to say here, because you encapsulated a lot in that. You said a lot there. We play the cards we're dealt. And I ain't 100% sure I got this restoration left in me, but I'm going to take a hammer and start beating on that car and see what I come up with. But I like what you said there. You laid out a lot in very few words. And I'm looking forward to meeting you as well, sir. That's going to be, Louisville's one of my favorite places to be. That's fantastic. That show's shaping up to be just a fantastic show. Let's see. At Samuel Baum, 2258, the amount of peace you have when talking about this place is astounding now. From the Less Hell episode earlier this season to now is night and day. So happy to see it. Bubba, I've turned a corner, and it's a good corner. It's not a corner of... Sorry, I thought my gate was open. It's not a corner. It's not the corner I thought it was. Turns out it's better. I let go of a lot of shit a week or so ago. And I've been dealing with it and processing with it, but I'm in a real good place that I'm enjoying being right now. I have some peace. I have some peace about some things that I didn't have some peace about, and I got some peace about them. And by God, I'm gonna enjoy every minute of it, because I know how fleeting peace is. At David Becker, is there a difference when you say father or dad? I lost my dad when I was 20. I still call him Pop, or the old bastard that beat my ass. There is a difference. It's the same man, but it usually has to do with how I'm feeling towards him. When I refer to him as my father, it's usually a little colder and it's a little aggravated. And I know I said some things about my dad last week, and I was a little emotional, and I don't want you to get the wrong idea. I don't have any animosity towards my father, I don't believe. I mean, there's probably some, you know, and he's probably got some towards me, but he showed up for me most of my life. He showed up enough. Okay? He doesn't have to show up now. I don't need him to show up now. Would I like him to? Sure. But I don't need him to anymore. He's got his own life. I've got my own life. And that's okay. I ain't mad about it. The feelings of anger that I used to sit on and the resentments, I've let that go. Because it just ain't no good energy in pursuing it. It was that realization that helped me. But he showed up plenty for me in my life. He showed up plenty. He did enough. I ain't mad at him. He don't need to show up now. It's okay. But sometimes when I'm feeling differently about him, I refer to him by either dad or father. And that's about the best way I can explain that. All right, let's open some freaking box. Y'all ready to see some Hot Wheels? All right, so stand and count right now. We is at, I got pencil to paper, by God. We're going to do some math here. We are sitting on 914 cars here in the wrecking yard. 1914 cars as of October, whatever the shit it is. I don't have a clue what the date is. Oh, I got my daggum magic box with all the answers. October 5th. October 5th, we are at 19 cars. 5 days, I'll be in Louisville, Kentucky, spreading my own version of the ha-ha with a little optimism sprinkled in, because by God, you know what I am. I'm a dealer of hope. All right. Does it say who this is from? S&E Hobbies and Collectibles, West Plum, Dayzetta, Texas. Shipped to the Wrecking Yard Podcast. Let's take a look at Lou. Boom. Got the Freedom Blade. Nope. There I go cutting toward me again. Ba ba bum 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 ba ba. What do we get from Southeast Hobbies in Dayzetta? Okay, this might not be Hot Wheels. I don't know what these are. S&E Hobbies and Collectibles, die-cast novelty earrings, dolls, crochet toys, freshies, jewelry. Use code I need more for a 10% discount. Let's see what we're looking at here. Oh, they are Hot Wheels. Excellent. They're just packaged kind of strange. Boy, they did not want these to get banged up. Ooh, doggy. Look at here. HW Race Day, HW Formula Solar. These are all special feature ones. Boy, that'll be a fun surprise for the kids. I need me an empty box. Give me just a sketch here. I got a box I've already been filling up with the Lucy's. Sound like I'm gonna be selling cigarettes around the corner now. Got a box of Lucy's. Who needs Lucy? Lucy Hot Wheel? You need a Lucy Hot Wheel. I got Lucy Hot Wheels. Let's see. Let's get all these out of here. All right. So we know what those are. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 Hot Wheels. Thank you so much. I guess those, I don't see no letter in here. So I'm guessing those might have just come from the good people at S&E Hobbies and Collectibles. Thank you so much. You just brung a bunch of smiles, some babies. I done forgot how many it was. See, 14 smiles. That's 14 more smiles for babies. Let's add that to our tally. Brings us up to 928 Hot Wheels. Thanks to S&E Hobbies and Collectibles, right out there in Dayzetta, Texas. And they have a Facebook page, Sand E Hobbies. Go to Sand E Hobbies, or S&E Hobbies, that's what it is. Or you can go to www.sandehobbies.com. They got a phone number, 772-521-1771. Thank you so much. There's a note on it. Nope, that's all in Spanish. I don't know what that means. Something about preguntas. All right, let's look at here. I'm trying to go through these quick. What do we got? Got a big bag. Is there a note? No daggum note. Why ain't there ever a note? All right. God dang, look at here. Just that bag just chock full of Hot Wheels. Daggum, I wish they'd put a note so I know who sent these things. One of you kind, blessed souls from either here or Facebook reached out and sent these cars, and I don't know who you are, but I'm going to tell you how many cars are in the box. Maybe you'll know you did it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Oh, these are such cool ones, too. These are all the classic series. There's 12. 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. Damn, that's cool looking. What's that called? 1941 Ford pickup. That's pretty neat. And a lost count. That's what I get. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. 24 smiles right there. 24 smiles for babies. 24. Oh, that's crazy looking. Look at the Chrysler 300 with the big wheels. 24 smiles for babies right there. Courtesy of Anonymous. We don't know who sent it because wasn't no letter. But I'll try to do some sleuthing and figure out who sent us all these great Hot Wheels. 24 smiles for babies. My God, I love y'all. So we'll add a 24 to our count. That puts us at 928 plus 24 puts us at 942. 942 smiles for babies is where we're sitting. Next box. Let's do it again. Boom, boom, boom. No, I don't even need the freedom knife for this one. I got it. Whoa, I've never seen boxes like this. And no dadgum letter. Who does it say it's from? Amazon Fulfillment Services. And these say they got 15 vehicles each in them. Let's just pop one so we make sure, because it also says Stunt Tracks on it, and I can't tell for sure. I've never seen a box like this before. Oh, car packs. That's neat right there. So these are little five packs of cars, and each one of these boxes got 15 cars in it. So that's 15, 30, 45, 60, 60 smiles for babies right there. That's 60 smiles. We'll set them up there for now. That's 60 smiles. Once again, from an unknown participant in the program, we'll add 60 to 942. And we just, right there, we just did it. We just broke 1,000 smiles for babies. That puts us at solid 1,000. And two smiles for babies. By God, let's keep going. This is so exciting. This is so exciting. Sorry, I know it's tedious, but I appreciate y'all hanging in there. And I'll close this thing strong, I promise. But I just wanted to share the joy with y'all. The joy I get from seeing this. Because you just there's so much ugly in the world. Especially right now. And a lot of people focusing on the ugly. And by God, then just some people come together to focus on the pretty. And what we're doing here is it just feels good. Oh, I got a letter finally. I hope this helps replace what was lost. All the best. We sincerely appreciate what you're doing and are happy to be a part of it. With much love, 182 Garage, Stephen, Lindsay, Lily, Luke Archer from Pennsylvania would love. God bless the Archer family. It's from Toy World, eBay. Oh, they ordered these off eBay. Nice. And it is 72 cars. 72 cars. 72 smiles for babies right here in this box. And I'm just going to pull the... Ooh, I love that they use this paper because that's what I use to start my charcoal chimney with. That's best charcoal chimney. You don't get a newspaper no more. But that paper, you wad one of them up, put in that charcoal chimney, boy, it's going to start that charcoal every time. Who People don't love bubble wrap. I'll play that later. God damn. Yep, right there. 72 cars, 72 smiles for babies. Come all the way from Memphis, Tennessee. These cars did from as a gesture of our good people, the Archers out in Pennsylvania. I love you. God bless you. 72 smiles. 72 smiles for babies. Who don't want to see babies with 72 smiles? 72. 1,074 smiles. Woo, we're bringing them home today. Y'all have already more than made up for what was stolen from the post office. Oh, we got a letter. Driven Dreams donation with pixie dust and best wishes. Thank you, Jay and Rach, from Martha Kelly. Martha Kelly is one of my favorite people. I just love Martha Kelly out in California. And then she just reached out and sent us some Hot Wheels. And just God bless that sweet lady. She's done a lot of nice things for me and Rachel over the years as she has followed some of my work. One, two, three, four, five. Five more smiles for babies. Five more smiles for babies. Right there. Ooh, that's good. I'll play that later. All right. So that puts us 1,079 smiles. Ten pack. Two 10 packs right here. Look at that. 20 more smiles for babies. 20 more. 20 more. no note. Damn it. Where'd it come from? Amazon fulfillment, probably. Amazon services, Harlem Road, Richmond, Texas. Well, dadgum, that might be somebody close to me. 20 more smiles. 20 more smiles for babies. Now that puts us at a whopping 1,099 smiles. 1,099. A 1099. Woo! This box almost looks homemade. I don't know, where did that come from? Amazon services, Tulsa, Oklahoma. No note there. Sold as one unit. What we got here? 30 Hot Wheel cars mixed. 30 Hot Wheel cars mixed. Dang, no note. My God, boy, that's 30 Hot Wheel cars. All right. Man, we're running out of room. Well, 30. Now we are at 1,129 smiles for babies. God, I can't believe y'all. I just wanted to bust 1,000, but boy, we flew by 1,000. We're going to fly. We're just going to keep on going. Oh, some multi-packs here. Boom. Oh. Amazon services. Oak Creek, Wisconsin. What we got here? 24 car packs. Assortment. 24 car packs. That is 24 car packs. Right there. 48 smiles. 48 smiles for babies. We just gonna stack them. We got too many smiles. 48. Let's add 48 to the number. Boom, boom. No note with that one, unfortunately. So that puts us at 7, 1177. All right. We're at 1177 smiles for babies, if my math is correct. I won't assure you that it is. I'm gonna do these biggest boxes last. Because I'm probably just gonna have to put them right back there until I find a place to store all this. Oh my God. Look at that. Boom, 50 pack. Holy hell, another 50 pack. Dadgummit, no note. Oh, I wish they'd send me a note. San Marcos, Texas, Amazon Fulfillment Services. 100 more. We got two 50 packs. That's another 100. Another 100 cars for babies right there. Another 100 smiles. Just throw another. I can add that math. That math's easy, baby. That's 1,277 smiles for babies we done raised here at the Wrecking Yard Podcast. By God, we're going to do some good this year. And it's all thanks to y'all. It's all thanks to y'all sharing the post and buying the cars, reaching out to be a part of this. And, whoo, this is a big daggum box. All these last boxes are huge. Whoa. Oh, these are actual Hot Wheel tracks. Look at that. Track creators with cars in them. Now, that's neat. Man, we got four of them in there. All right, so that's four tracks that we'll give out to some of these organizations. Four Hot Wheels creators tracks. Now that's big smiles right there. That's big old smiles. That gives you something to do with them. Four Hot Wheels creators tracks right there in that box. Look at that. Look at all the stuff you can do with that. Look at all that. Boy, you just go plumb crazy, man. Get down the floor with your sibling. Whatever you got, if you got one. Daggum, I'm out of room. I done out Hot Wheeled myself. All right, let me see. You know what? Put these on the table for now. And then we'll just stack these on top of each other. Let's go, let's go. We're getting to the end here. Wow! Man, I wish there was a note in this box. I know who sent all these. There's four more track creator sets in this box. Four more. They come with some cars in them. Oh, I found a note. I found a note. Gosh, dang it. God bless you, Jerry Wayne, from Nathan Huey. Nathan Huey sent us four Hot Wheels toy car track sets, triple loop packs. Track building components with three loops and speed snap. Boy, oh, Nathan Huey. God bless you, son. God bless you for that. That's going to be some big smiles right there. That's going to be some big smiles. All right, let's get this last one. I think based on its size, it may be some more tracks. What does that put us at? That's eight Hot Wheels Creator Track Series. Those would be real good ones. Let's see what's in this last box here. Whew, I'm sweating. That's some work. Opening up all this goodness y'all done. Four more track sets. Look at that. That's a Nathan Huey again. I think Nathan Huey must send all these track sets. God bless you, sir. God, this is just sweet. This is a beautiful thing. God, that's a beautiful thing. Look what y'all done here, man. Look at the amount of joy that y'all that we create. I mean, I didn't do nothing. I just talk about it. Y'all did all this. Creating all this joy that we're going to get to share with these babies. All right, God, now we got 12 track sets. 12 track sets. That's just amazing. God bless the goodness of your hearts. I'm overwhelmed. We are sitting at 1,277 die-cast cars, 1,277 smiles we're going to deliver. And there's more boxes on the way, and 12 creator track sets give out to these babies. God bless the goodness of your hearts. I'm just, it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming. I just wanted to be a part of this thing. And then, y'all just light me up with your goodness. That's all. I told you it's my favorite month. This is all, you just light me up with goodness. In the current world, it's hard to find. But by God, here, y'all just send it right to my house so that we can make some smiles. Let's wrap this thing up for the night. When I was writing this episode, when I was thinking about Lake Tyler, I was thinking about the lure of nostalgia. I was thinking how we often cling to the past sometimes, and it makes it hard for us to appreciate what's happening now. I know I'm guilty of it for sure. I know if you drive out there at Mackerel Road now, you ain't going to see no broke down old barges and jugs in the water marking where pole stops are. You're going to see nice manicured parking lots and little cabins for people to rent. And I think the bait shop and the fishing pier are still there, but probably redone. I looked at it from a satellite image. It's hard to tell. So I mean, if I end up out there in White House, I may just drive out there off Mackerel Road and go visit the old bait shop at the Boulders RV park, just to see if it still smells like the bait shop, you know, just see what that little part of the lake looks like now. But I ain't, you know, I didn't need it to stay the way it was forever. I wasn't going back there. It's okay for some things to change. It's okay for people to find better ways to enjoy it. And, you know, they're probably not putting a bunch of styrofoam in the water now. So that's probably nice too. Nostalgia is a funny thing. When it's gentle, it's a bomb. It softens the edges of memory. Makes the past glow a little warmer than it really was. It's the sound of your mama's laughter in the kitchen. It's feel of Papa's callous hand on my shoulder. It's the way a certain old car smelled the first time you drove it. Those are good things to hold on to. They anchor us. They remind us that joy was real. And so were the people who gave that joy to us. But nostalgia has teeth, too. If you clutch it too tight, it stops being memory and it starts becoming a weapon. Suddenly, you're not just remembering, you're comparing. You're measuring the present against some better time that never fully existed. And that's when nostalgia turns into an act of war against the present. You find yourself fighting today for not being yesterday. It reminds me of the way folks sometimes talk about cars. They don't build them like I used to. And that's true in one sense. Nobody's putting chrome bumpers big as a church pulpit on a sedan anymore. You don't get opera windows, crushed velvet interiors, or steering wheels big enough to steer a boat. There's a beauty in that lost art, the shine, the curves, the sense of weight and permanence it had. But here's the truth. Most of us wouldn't survive a modern wreck in a 72 Monte Carlo. That chrome bumper everybody brags on, it didn't absorb a lick of energy. It sent it straight through to your chest. Those bench seats we love to stretch out on, no headrest, no side bolsters, nothing to keep you from snapping like a twig in a collision. They were gorgeous machines, no doubt. But airbags and crumple zones are what keep families alive today. When I was growing up, people died in car wrecks all the time. It is way less common now. That's the balance with nostalgia. Admire the chrome, but respect the airbag. Honor what came before, but don't pretend it was all better. Every era has its miracles and its blind spots. The trick is carrying memory like a compass instead of a sword. Let it point you home when you're lost. Let it remind you of the hands that steadied you when you was young. But don't drag it out to beat today into shape. I've been reading a lot of Alan Watts lately, and Alan Watts said we don't really experience the past. We only experience memory in the present. The same goes for the future. It's just our mind's best guess at a road that ain't been paved yet. The only thing we ever truly stand inside of is the eternal now. Nostalgia then is like a mile marker. It tells you how far you came, but it ain't the place you live. You can pull over, admire the scenery, maybe even snap a picture in your head. But if you want to stay alive and awake, you got to put the truck back in gear and drive in the lane you're in now. That's the work, to indulge in the sweetness of memory without letting it steal the sharpness of the present moment. Whether you're dreaming of the future, or stuck in the past, or just enjoying right now as best as you can, I'm rooting for you. I get your comments, your letters, your emails. There's not enough hours in the day for me to respond to them all as much as I'd like to. But they usually guide me on what I'm going to talk about every week. So many of you are tackling big things, recovery, starting businesses, having children, taking kids to college for the first time, taking care of ill loved ones, grieving the loss of loved ones, fixing your own health, fixing your own financial situation. I don't know if you all got someone around to tell you that you're going to be fine and you're enough. So I'll tell you, you're going to be fine. You are enough. One of the things that makes my world beautiful is your presence. I'm JW. I love you. Boy, I can't believe y'all. 1,277 Hot Wheels. That's... We're going to take Cadillac and the Mazda to deliver all these daggums. I hope that old boy trades me that truck this week. Then I got a way to load all these daggum things up and take them somewhere. It would be funny to see a Mazda pulling a trailer full of Hot Wheels, though. Oh, shoot. Gotta love y'all. This has been the best experiment of my life and one of the best experiences of my life. Please keep talking to me in the comments. You renew me day by day. I'm just tickled pink this morning. God bless y'all. That you out there? You know what them big boxes were? Those big boxes? They were Hot Wheels creator track sets. 12 of them. From one dude. Yeah, we got 1,277 Hot Wheels right now. I opened every daggum one of them here. Yeah, I'm wrapped up. I'm about to come in there. I sure do love you, pretty girl. Yeah, I just got to shut everything down and go edit.